This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Helena B. from Providence, Rhode Island, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for July 17th, episode 703. This episode is brought to you by Back on Track Products. Good morning, Horse World.
Big Wednesday, the day you face your own biggest challenge, the day you risk it all, the day you either distinguish yourself or fade into the crowd.
Hang on, we're hitching a ride.
Daddy, I want another pony.
I put 40 hours in this weekend, man, it's only Wednesday. I've been cussing this damn heat all day long, there's got to be another way. So I pick up my guitar and I write a song. Everybody hears and they sing along. Hey, hey.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us on this fine Wednesday morning. A little toasty in some parts of the country. You know, everybody picked on us when we moved to Florida and said, oh, it's so hot down there in the summertime. What's your temperatures today supposed to be, Helena?
Oh, 89-ish.
Yeah. Right now, it's 75 and beautiful in Florida, and we've been hitting the high 80s, maybe low 90s every day, and it's been like 100 degrees in Pennsylvania. So... So it's not as bad as... But there's one place, Helena, that you and I both lived before, and that's Massachusetts. Jennifer and I lived there twice, and I hated it both times. She was a little more tolerant than I was, but it's no big surprise. Listeners of the show know Massachusetts is not my favorite, and I apologize to everybody listening from Massachusetts. But something nice happened in Massachusetts, and you know, New Englanders have this reputation for being a little hard, a little tough. You know, you ever drive up there, you'll see that. But something nice happened in Massachusetts, and I'm going to credit it today. And that the nice thing happened at Heavenly Donuts in Amesbury, Massachusetts, which, as far as I can tell, is up on the border of New Hampshire there, above Boston. Well, in Amesbury, it's this little donut shop. First of all, I didn't know that somebody was allowed to own a donut shop other than Dunkin' Donuts. I thought they were pretty much the mafia in Massachusetts because they're on every street corner. But there's this little Heavenly Donut shop in Amesbury, and this is what happened the other day. Car came through the drive-thru in the morning as the rush hour was going on, and he paid for the guy behind him. And there's been a lot of that going on at drive-thrus of different sorts across the country. Where, you know, just out because you're feeling generous, you'll say, I'll buy the ones behind me. So that car pulled up and was just shocked that the person did that. It must make your day, doesn't it? Wouldn't it make your day?
Yeah.
I mean, just be the total surprise that a stranger paid for your breakfast. Well, that guy decided to pay behind him. Same thing happened with the next car. 55 cars later, everybody paid for the guy behind them.
Oh, my gosh.
In Massachusetts, Helena. Can you believe that? Maybe in the middle of Kansas someplace. And that, by the way, is not a record. There actually is a record for this kind of thing. And the record is 228 at a drive-thru. I don't know where that drive-thru was. It doesn't say. But here at Tim Hortons in Winnipeg in Canada. 228 people did the drive-through thing. And,
well, of course, Canada, they're nice.
Yeah, they're nice up there. Yeah. So, this was 55 cars in a row. And the manager of this Heavenly Donut said the only reason it didn't continue was there was nobody behind the last person. The line had gone away. So she was the last one in line.
So nobody got free coffee because they all paid.
Right, exactly. So, now they said the bills ranged anywhere from $5 to $20, and even the people with the $20 paid for it. Because, you know, some people buy a dozen donuts and stuff for work. So, yeah, wasn't that a nice story out of Massachusetts? Doesn't it make you feel better about the place you used to live?
Yeah, that's really nice. Wow. How do you pay for, though, if the person behind you...
Well, you got to remember...
Because they know already.
Yeah, they know already
because
there's usually a lot of cars in line. So,
right, okay.
One or two cars behind you will have ordered already. I've heard of this happening, and there were a lot of comments on this particular story about people having it happen to them at even drive-thrus at McDonald's and places like that. I know a couple times I've paid for military when I see them in there. I'll just pay for theirs.
That's nice.
And it always shocks them. They're just like, yeah, really?
I've had people pay for my toll.
Really?
Before. Yep.
Wow.
Yeah,
because I guess that's the same amount every time, so that's easy to do, I guess. Well, that would make your day. That probably made you feel a little better about life, didn't it?
Well, the New Yorker in me is like, what do they want? Why are they doing that? What's wrong with them? What did I do?
Are they going to follow me?
What's going to happen? Yeah. And then you get like a quarter mile down the highway and you're like, oh, that was so nice.
Yeah, now that they're not following me.
It's a delayed reaction.
Well, it is time to call in and play the Wheel of Trivia. We would like for you to give us a call at 347-637-3238. There are plenty of lines open at this point, so definitely give us a call. And Jennifer, do you have what's coming up on today's show?
Indeed, I do. Here goes. On today's Back on Track Wednesday edition, the wonders never cease here on Hit'em, as demonstrated in a few minutes by this morning's clever call-in contestants. And following a rousing game of crappy list chit-chat, TheForce.com is here with the lowdown on that ever-popular diminutive member of the equine world, miniature horses, and their unique health needs. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Well, very good. Well, thank you, Jennifer. As I said, time to give us a call for the EquityMFG.com Wheel of Trivia, 347-637-3238. For all you people who have had trouble getting through before, there are some lines open now. So give us a call. We'll be playing that in just a minute, right after our Daily Winnies, and Helena is up first.
My daily winning for today goes out to Michelle Bergeron, who is a friend of the Horse Radio Network, and she is the owner of the Right Lead Equestrian Center, and tomorrow is her birthday, so we want to wish Michelle a happy birthday. She's a really great person, and we love her.
Happy birthday, Michelle. She's 29
happy
again.
Happy birthday, Michelle.
Yeah, she's 29 again. She told me.
You
mentioned that. You know, we had a great time. We got to go down to and stay with them for a couple days. They live not too far north of New Orleans, so we got to go down and have beignets in New Orleans and had a great time with them. We'd love to go back and visit them again sometime. Neat place, Right Lead Equestrian Center. Michelle does good work out there.
She does do good work. She's very, she has that not so common sense when it comes to horsemanship. Practical and compassionate. It's that nice mix.
You need to write a book called Not So Common Sense for the Horse Person.
Not So Common Sense. Somebody has to. I mean, there's got to be something out there. Plus, she's a fan of Cleveland Bays.
Yeah, that's right. She's going to have a Cleveland Bay baby here soon. Her mare is going to have a baby.
And side saddle and fashion. We love her.
And hunting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And fox hunting. She's got it all.
All right, let's do my Daily Winnie. Jennifer, you can go ahead and start lining up the callers a while. All right, my Daily Winnie goes out to everybody who, a lot of people who posted congratulations and things about about my new pony. If you missed Monday's show, go ahead back and take a listen to that, where we talk all about me adopting a little forlorn, skinny pony, and which we've temporarily nicknamed PT because that stands for poor thing, because everybody comes out here and sees him and says, oh, poor thing. Well, we've named him PT for poor thing. So he is doing, I'll give you an update here quick. He is doing great. His obnoxiousness level has risen to Hackney status at this point. So he is definitely feeling better. He is eating everything we put in front of him with gusto. And for those that heard Monday's show, Poop Patrol is showing great improvement and almost solid at this point. So we're very happy about that as well. And he is a little hog. He just trashes his stall. I was shocked that a 12-hand pony can trash the stall like that. It's good I have my EquityMFG.com manure fork because I'm going to need it. He just trashes it. I was shocked.
Aww.
Little
well, he's going to trash it even more as his energy level comes back, too.
I know. So. His name's going to change to Little Creep is what it's going to change to. And
Or you're going to find more descriptive words to fit the P and the T.
That's right. Well, I also want to thank everybody who wished Jennifer and I a happy anniversary. We really appreciate that. And we're celebrating anniversary week. We decided to do the whole week, and we're doing something a little bit each day. Instead of, you know, going on a couple-day trip or doing something like that, we just decided we were going to do something special every day. So Jennifer got a big bouquet of flowers yesterday. That was the special thing. And tonight we're going to see Monsters University.
Oh, how so nice.
Yeah, so tonight we're going to see Monsters University.
Did I wish you guys
University.
A happy anniversary yet?
I don't
think I wished you a happy anniversary
yet. You can again.
Well, happy anniversary.
Thank you.
Happy anniversary. Happy anniversary. Happy anniversary. Happy anniversary. Do you remember that from the Fred Flintstone episode?
That's our favorite one, actually.
Yeah.
That is a good one. Hey, I have an announcement.
If any two people deserve each other, it's you guys. God, you're perfect for one another.
Just means she's had a ton of patience over the years. That's all that means. That's what that means.
I have to agree.
Yeah.
I have to agree.
Or stupidity. I'm not sure which. Hey, I have an announcement to make here on behalf of the Horse Radio Network and the Horses in the Morning show. As everybody knows, we've been at 3 days a week since Jamie pretty much got pregnant. And we've been doing Tune Tuesdays, doing a musical show on Tuesdays. And then on Thursdays, we've been putting up Best Of episodes. Well, that is going to change here a little bit coming up. We're very excited that we're going to be going back to live programming on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Jamie is still wanting to limit her mornings to 3 days a week when she gets up to full steam here. So she'll be back to 3 days a week. Jennifer, what was that, Jennifer? Oh, she's on in the... She's not with us, but she's just telling me, remind callers, looks like Blog Talk wasn't working earlier for callers. Okay, give us a try. If it did not work for you earlier to get in for Wheel, give us a call at 347-637-3238. But anyway, so what we're going to be doing is on Tuesdays and Thursdays, we decided to offer Tuesdays and Thursdays to groups and organizations that want to do special shows one day a month. And we've had several take us up on this, and we're filling up those spots already. And we start with the first one tomorrow. So tomorrow we will have a live program. I'll be co-hosting with Dr. Rebecca Jimenez of the Technical Large Animal Emergency Group. We call her Dr. G. She has been on the show before talking about what you do in the event of emergencies and how to prepare for emergency preparedness, and she teaches courses on horse first aid and things like that. Well, her group, the Technical Large Animal Emergency Rescue Group, it has sponsored 1 day a month, and she'll be on with us, and the whole show will be devoted to first aid and emergencies and preparation, and she'll have guests lined up. But Rebecca, Dr. G, will actually be co-hosting with me, and that's what we're going to do. We have a couple of others. I'm happy to announce that Karen Chatton, who we talked to, remember, last week on the Stable Scoop show. She's the endurance rider.
Karen.
Yeah. She's getting ready to do the Tevis this weekend. Well, she has agreed and is going to be coming on and doing an endurance show once a month, talking about endurance riding. And she'll make a great co-host for that particular segment. And then Rose from Equus Now, who was on the show a couple weeks ago, is going to be coming on and doing a product show once a month. So she'll be co-hosting with me for the product show. So that's what we're going to do. Well, I'll have a different co-host on Tuesdays and Thursdays every week, and the show will be devoted to what they're all about. I know we have a couple associations looking at it, a couple breeds looking at it, taking up those extra spots. So in the next 2 months, we should have all those spots filled out and be back to live 5 days a week. So I think that the Hit'em audience will be happy to hear that.
Holy guacamole.
Yeah, a lot going on.
Holy guacamole. Yeah, it's that's a long way from 12 listeners and one show.
That's true. That's true. Long way.
This
from
is like,
5 years
ago. We're a real
ago,
network
Helena.
Now. Man.
Yeah, like, we're like the I real
know.
Thing. People actually want to be on our show now.
We can actually exhale now. We have real fans and real shows.
I'm always surprised when we hear about, yesterday we had a lady who we were supposed to do a phone call with. This is just funny. We had a lady we were supposed to do a phone call with about something, and she told Wendy, she said, I'll talk to you. I'm too scared to talk to Glenn. He's like the star. I'm too scared to talk to him. I was like, what?
What?
I know, that's what I said. It's like, have you listened to the shows?
Oh, God.
Anyway,
all we need. Yes. That's all your wife needs is an ego boost for you.
Okay, no. I doubt anybody waiting on the line right now to do the wheel is scared to talk to either one of us. So let's do that. Let's do this.
Okay.
It's time for the EquityMSG.com Wheel of Trivia, where every week unsuspecting horse enthusiasts call the show with illusions of trivia grandmaster dancing in their heads, willing to risk all for their chance to spin the wheel and possibly win some fantastic prize. Or answer incorrectly and have torn away every ounce of equestrian street cred they have, like an old bell boot.
That's right. It is time for the EquityMFG.com Wheel of Trivia. Now, this is how it's going to work. We're going to ask you a question from one of the categories that Helena will go over in a minute, and you have 5 seconds to give us the correct answer. If you give us the correct answer, you will hear the bell. If you give us the incorrect answer, you will hear the buzzer. And as I said, we have to be pretty strict about the 5 seconds because of Google. Google makes us limit that to 5 seconds. We do have a question of the day that we're going to ask everybody. What is that, Helena? Helena? Did I lose
the question? The question of the day is, do you prefer to ride with or without riding gloves? Riding gloves or not?
Well,
what do you? Well, you don't ride, but you drive, Glenn. Do you use gloves when you drive?
Yeah, I used to like to use gloves when I drove, because the main pony I drove would pull the cart with the reins, and it hurt after a while. So, that's just the way she always was. some horses actually use the traces. She preferred not to. I wouldn't have had to put the traces on the cart. she would have pulled it down the road. What about you? You're a glove wearer, aren't you?
No, yes, no. I changed my mind. Like, 1 year I'm a glove person, and then the next year I can't be bothered. It also depends on what kind of reins I'm using. Like, if I have the dimple reins,
that's the story of Helena's life.
I know. You know what it means? It's not that I'm indecisive, it's that I'm open-minded.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we'll go with that. What are the categories, Helena?
The categories for today are not-so-vital statistics, 20th century history, and elementary, my dear Watson, which are what we're calling the long format questions.
That's right.
And we'll give you a little bit of extra time on those.
Those are the essay questions. All right, very good. Well, let's take Ingrid in New Jersey as top on the list. Good morning, Ingrid.
Hi.
Good morning.
Hello.
How are you today?
Doing great, thanks. How are you?
Not too bad. I'm in a nice, cool, air-conditioned room. Have you ridden yet today? Were you up at the crack of dawn like the rest of us?
Oh, no. I rode yesterday. Today, I'm not riding.
Okay.
Good God, it sounds like she's had 12 cup of coffee, though.
I know. Iced coffee, I hope. So, Ingrid, the question of the day is, do you ride with or without gloves? What do you do?
In the wintertime, I ride with gloves, but that's the only time.
Okay. Do you not like to feel, do you not like something in between the reins and your hands?
Yeah,
or is it too hot?
I like to have my hands on the rein and feel like everything.
Yeah.
I want to know if they're pulling me or nudging me a little bit. I want to know.
All right. Well, we have three categories for you today. Tell me which one you would like to choose. We're going to start with not so vital statistics, 20th century history, and then elementary, My Dear Watson, which is the long format.
I'm going to try elementary, My Dear Watson.
Oh, wow. These guys are brave.
Yeah.
I'm trying.
All right, here we go. Francine thought she had it pretty good. Each morning before she even got to the barn, her crack stall cleaning guy, Maurice, would have all 10 stalls cleaned and the aisles swept, and she would walk into an immaculate, fresh-smelling barn. On this particular Wednesday, however, she arrived to see one of her star youngsters standing in the aisle with a large gash on his head. When she quizzed Maurice on what could have happened, he replied that he didn't know how the horse injured his head. Now, Maurice grew up on a chicken farm. How the heck did he know what happened? Sorry, Maurice knew that He knew how the horse injured his head. He grew up on a chicken farm. How did Maurice know what happened to the horse?
Grew up on a chicken farm. I don't know, rubbed his head on a bucket. I don't know. Rubbed his head on a bucket.
Well, not exactly. Maurice knew what happened to the horse because the horse got cast, and Maurice could tell by the way the stall bedding was displaced along the wall.
She threw the chicken thing in there just to throw you off, I think.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, what, chicken wire?
Yeah, that's
I know,
me
that
off
one
too.
Got me too, Ingrid. I was like... I'm like, you're not reading the answer. Thinking, how did Maurice know?
I was stuck on the chickens. I was, what, were the chickens in the stall? I was kind of stuck on the chickens.
So the connection is that Maurice does the stalls every day and knows exactly what every horse's stall looks like the next morning.
Ah, there we go.
Sorry.
Wait, these are tough.
Got it.
These are really tough.
Yeah, these are tough.
Well,
thank you so much for playing.
Talk to you again.
Okay, have a good day.
Thanks, right. Bye.
Next up is Colleen in Pennsylvania.
Hi, Colleen.
Good morning.
Oh, another coffee girl. Did you have your coffee this morning?
No, I'm in such a good mood because I am off work today. I'm actually driving. Woo-hoo. I'm actually in the car with, it's my mom's birthday, so my sister and I and my mom all took off. It's a girl's day out, and we just actually went out for breakfast.
So your bellies are full.
Yep.
Excellent. Okay, so we have a question of the day today, and that is whether or not you prefer riding with gloves or without.
I would say always, as long as I can remember to grab the gloves on my way out, yes, because otherwise my hands always get all, I don't want to say blistery, but they get kind of, let's just say my hands get kind of roughed up if I forget the gloves. So if I remember, then definitely.
Okay, so your preference is to use them if you can remember them.
Exactly.
Got it. Okay. What kind of horses do you have?
I've got one quarter horse and then two Dutch warm blood thoroughbred crosses.
Oh, that's a handful of horses. What do you do with them?
Right now the Dutch warm blood thoroughbred crosses are both they're both really young, so they're both kind of in training. But my quarter horse I've been doing dressage with for years.
Oh, I love that. There's a girl who, in my area who does, she calls it wassage. And it's, she rides Western, but she does dressage shows. She's been riding dressage tests in her Western tack. She calls it wassage. in her corduroys.
Yeah, I've heard of that. I heard of that. I think it's a new up-and-coming thing.
I think it might be. It's super cute anyway. All right. Well, we have three categories for today's trivia. You tell me which one you'd like. They are not-so-vital statistics, 20th century history, or elementary My Dear Watson, which is the long format.
I'm going to try the elementary My Dear Watson.
Boy, you guys are gluttons for punishment today. Jeez.
All right, here we go. Jeff was walking his horse, Beagle, back to the barn, beaming with pride over their double clear cross-country run at his first ever recognized novice event. As he strolled back to the barn, he glanced back at Beagle when he took a funny step, panic-stricken. This was Beagle's first time back following a tendon injury. After a few more carefully watched normal steps, Jeff hit the speed dial on his phone, calling his groom who was back at the barn and asking her to call the show farrier, not the vet. What did Jeff see that caused him to have the farrier summoned instead of the vet?
I would almost guess either a shoe came off or maybe one of the studs on the shoes came off.
You got it.
Ding, 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 ding. Beagle had pulled a shoe. Oh, great job, Colleen. Yay!
She always throws those things. Where do you come up with these, Jennifer? Jeez. I mean, you always throw these things in that make you go, I'm not sure if that's right or not. It's like all of those tests you used to have to take for like your PSATs and SATs with all of those questions. Very good. Well, good job. Well, let's spin the wheel, see what you want. Well, you did win a good prize. You won the Ultra Shield Fly Protection Package. You can always use more of that. The variety of pests.
Oh,
yeah, this is four bottles. The Ultra Shield EX, the Ultra Shield Red, the Ultra Shield Sport, and the Ultra Shield Green. So you're going to get the whole case there. And, you know, right now you're probably in the heart of that in Pennsylvania fly season.
Oh, absolutely, Glenn. We can always use more fly spray around here in Pennsylvania.
Well, this look for Absorbine Ultra Shield Fly Protection at your local tack and feed supplier or visit them online at absorbine.com where you can find downloadable coupons, too. I know we had to get some recently, and Jennifer was on there printing out coupons. So hop on over to absorbine.com. Well, hold on. Jennifer's going to get your address, and we'll get that sent out to you, or Absorbine will, rather. Thank you, Colleen.
Okay, thank you, guys. Have a good day.
You too.
All right, next up on the hit parade is Uta, our friend. How are you, Uta?
I'm good. How are you?
Terrific.
Good morning, Uta. Have you
good
ridden
morning.
Today, or are you still have yet to ride because it's hot?
There won't be no riding today. I'm at work right now, and then this afternoon we're going to be baling hay in 100 degrees.
Oh.
Nobody likes doing that.
Yeah. There'll be no riding. You know, that's the nice part about living near the ocean. You're not too close to the ocean, Uta, but after a hard day of working on the farm or in the barn, there's nothing quite like going for a dip in the water. Do you have a pool or a lake or a pond nearby?
Well, we had a pond when it rained real hard last week, but it's gone now.
Oh.
Well, that just brings
out
the mosquitoes.
You'll just have to find a cool cocktail then.
There you go.
All right, let's.
So we have a question of the day. That is, do you prefer to ride with gloves or without gloves?
I prefer to ride without, but if I do wear gloves occasionally, they're real thin because I like to be able to feel my reins in that contact with the horse.
Yes, yes. I feel you. I feel you there. All right, our categories for today are not-so-vital statistics, 20th century history, and that's all that's left. Our third category, the long format, has been used up.
I'm glad those were giving me a headache.
I know. Not-so-vital statistics or 20th century history?
I'll go with the 20th century history, I suppose.
Okay. Here we go. What breed is highlighted each fall in Columbus, Ohio, at the three-week-long extravaganza known as Congress, started in 1967?
The All-American Quarter Horse.
And ask Uta where she lives, Helena.
Uta, where do you live?
An hour and a half north of Columbus.
Darn it. You know what? I knew that, too. I knew that, but I haven't had enough coffee this morning, so...
I think everybody knows. I knew about the Quarter Horse Congress when I grew up in Berlin, Germany.
Oh, really? Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it is a big deal.
There you
deal.
Go. See?
We did have fun. We've been there once. Jennifer and I wound up once when we lived in Lexington, and we did have a good time at the Quarter Horse Congress. That was fun.
Well, actually, here at this last Quarter Horse Congress, I got to go down there and meet Lindsay White.
Oh, that's right. Yes. That's correct.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very good.
Excellent.
Well, let's spin. We got more people we're going to try and get to today. See what you win today. Well, I landed on 3.5 pounds of horse quencher. Have you ever won the horse quencher before, Uta?
No, I have not. Unfortunately, my horses don't like it.
They don't like it? You're the only horse ever.
I know. They are the first horses ever I sent away for a sample, and they wouldn't touch it.
Well, then I'll tell you what. We'll send you... by the way, my new pony, PT, absolutely loves horse quencher. He just devoured the bucket of it last night.
You give that to him.
All right. Well, what we'll do is I will send you the HRN gift pack, which is the tote bag and the T-shirt. We'll send that instead.
All right. That's wonderful.
All right. Good, Uta. Well, that's what we'll do. We'll send you the tote bag and the T-shirt. Thank you, Uta.
Thanks, Uta.
Take care. Bye-bye.
She's the first one I ever met that the horse didn't like the horse quencher. I tell you, my little pony just devoured that stuff.
My horse hasn't tried it yet. I'll have to add that to the list of things that we need to try.
All right, let's see. Let's keep going here a little bit because we don't have Victoria can't make it today. From horseandcountry.tv. So why don't we just keep going? Let's go to Happy Barbie next.
Am I on?
Hi, Barbie.
Are you there?
Hello. I'm sorry. I'm taking you off speaker because I heard it didn't sound so good last time. I didn't realize I was on speaker. I'm sorry. Good morning, everyone. Congratulations, Glenn and Jennifer, and your new pony. I'm so excited. I can't wait to see him grow.
Yeah, I can't wait to see him get fatter. Stop looking like a Holstein.
Oh, he's going to be a cutie.
He looks more like a cow from the back end now.
Oh, you know what? Oh, he's going to be amazing and so appreciative. Oh, and my pony needed a little TLC too, so you and I are in the same boat. And how old is your pony now?
He's 6, so he's not very old. He's pretty young, actually.
And has he done anything? Does she know his history? He ridden? Has he driven?
When we went out to see it, the lady threw her little kid up on top and walked him around, and we saw.
Oh, that was nice.
Yeah, we actually saw pictures of him in a cart and harness, but we're not sure that they ever moved.
We
didn't see moving pictures of him in a cart and harness. We saw standing still pictures of him in a cart and harness. So whether he drives or not is up for debate. Yeah. So, I don't know.
Yeah, those still pictures are pretty easy. Yeah. It's the rest of it that's tricky.
That's
which
right.
I want it because you guys are on the driving show and you are my encouragement to drive. So I have the harness. I just have to get a cart real slow, you know, real slow. So
good. Terrific.
Well, I'm excited. I'm going
to
drive
that.
Too.
I think you'll love it.
I'm excited.
You're a brave woman.
A little nervous, but excited.
You won't find me behind a cart. No way.
I can't wait. I can't wait. If Wendy can do it, we can do it, Helena.
We might be able to do it, but just because
more
you can
champagne.
Doesn't mean you should.
Yeah, more champagne.
More champagne.
See, that's the good thing about driving is there's alcohol involved every time.
Yeah, the horses wear blinders and you drink champagne, it's all good.
Yeah.
All right, maybe I need to rethink this.
I never knew why horses wore blinders while driving. Now I know. They don't want to see you drinking.
Didn't you event, Helena? You evented, no?
No, fox hunting.
Isn't that dangerous?
Yeah, a little.
No!
No,
stop. I'm driving. Well, I guess it's only dangerous if you ride in the back with the crazy.
If you fall over.
See, the other the problem with that is there's drinking involved there, too, and a lot of them start before the hunt, so that's what makes it dangerous.
Well, and you know what? That's definitely a case where I'm kind of glad the ones that drink do drink, because they're probably way more relaxed.
Better riders drunk.
The horses should be making the decisions and not their riders. So I'm okay with that. A little port beforehand. Me, I will not. I won't touch the stuff if I'm in the saddle.
No.
But I know more than a few people who are more than happy to get on and let the horse drive.
Yeah.
All right. I'm sorry. We got to move this along, right? Or
yes,
Glenn,
yes.
We only have a few more minutes. Okay. So we have two categories left today, Barbie. We have not so vital statistics, and we have 20th century history. Which category?
I want Uta's question.
Okay.
I want Uta's question.
I'm going to give Uta's
category. That's the easiest one that's going to happen today. Let me tell you.
All right. Okay, here we go. What? So 20th century history, unless you want vital statistics.
I'll take vital statistics. Go for it.
Okay, here we go. How fast does an adult horse's hoof grow per month? Your options are between 1/8 and 1/4 of an inch, B, between 1/4 and 1/2 of an inch, or C, between 25 and 35 millimeters.
B.
B as in boy?
Yeah.
Between 1/4 and 1/2 of an inch. Excellent.
Why do I know these things?
What? Good job. You always get these questions that you go, what is that? All right. From now on, Barbie just doesn't get multiple choice. You just have to guess them. She's too good at this game.
Okay.
All right. Let's spin the wheel. See what you won today. Barbie, you win a $25 gift certificate from Equestrian Collections.
Oh, I'm a member there. I have the free shipping you talked about. You could do free shipping both ways, so I buy stuff from them. I support your sponsors. So,
yay!
And I'm using my equity right as we speak. So
you are?
Yeah. I'm Queen of Souls.
Well, then.
And the thirst quencher? I stole it from Ada. I stole the thirst quencher from Ada, and my horse loves it.
Oh, see? There you go. We're just going to have her do all our commercials from now on. First, well, let's start with Equestrian Collections. For you know as well as I do, Equestrian Collections is one of the best places to go shopping for all of your equestrian needs. They have about everything you could imagine over there. They're really good to deal with. So that's equestriancollections.com, and that's your $25 gift certificate. But we also have to do a commercial for Equity, Flex and Fork, and Shake and Fork right now. So go ahead. You do it for us.
I have three.
Really?
And two, because I have a helper at my other barn, so in case I don't want to share. And then I have one. I don't have any helpers at my barn, so I have one at my house. But yeah, I had to get three.
Why do you like them?
Two for me, and one for my helper.
Why do you like them?
They work.
They work? They don't break?
They work.
They work without breaking.
No, they just work. They're just, they work. Nothing fancy, nothing, they're good. That's it.
You know, I found that the other day I had to use one of the old cheapy ones, and it was a nightmare. I didn't like it at all. I just wanted my Equity fork back. It's like, once you start using
it's got the right handle spin.
Yeah, it's just...
It's got the right handle spin on the end. It's the handle spin. Yeah. And also the shock absorber's in it. But, yeah, it's boot pick.
There you go. And
but
it works.
But I use them every day. I start at 6 and I end at about 8:30. And yeah, me and Equity are good friends. Very good friends. Actually, and I have to call them because I do want to get, they have a lighter handle one.
Yes.
I want to get the lighter handle one just because I'm spoiled. I take care of 15, so I should get the motorized one.
You should get the shake and fork.
Call. So,
you really should.
Yeah, so I'm going to call them because I did talk to, is it John who owns the company?
Joseph owns the company. Joseph.
And yep. he was wonderful. I talked to him personally, and he was wonderful. So I do have to call back and place an order. I will.
You will love the Shake and Fork. Jennifer's a convert now to the Shake and Fork, too.
Tell him he has another customer. I'll
all right,
call him
good.
In the afternoon.
All right. Thank you, Barbie. Well, hold on 1 second, and Jennifer's going to write down that you get the gift certificate from Equestrian Collections. All right, we have time for one more. Let's do one more here. We're going a little over time today. And that's Lorraine in New Jersey. I think, Lorraine, are you a new caller?
No, I actually called earlier, and I didn't win the last time I called.
Ah, okay, gotcha.
All right, let's go for another one then. Let's see what you
let's
can
go for an easy one.
You can win something this time.
Win something in time. Well, I have a quick question for you then. The question of the day here on Horses in the Morning is whether or not you prefer to ride with riding gloves. What's your choice?
No gloves for me.
No gloves because...
I don't have the feel of the reins when I have gloves on. I feel they're just too thick and they get in the way.
Yes, I get this. Okay, so this is where we have consensus. We had one person who said if she remembered the gloves, she would wear them, but everyone else has opted for no gloves. I personally change my mind every couple of years. Right now I'm in the no glove mode.
About everything. About everything, Lorraine. She changes her mind about everything. It's not just
Do not. Well, I'm not changing my mind about giving Lorraine a good question for today's quiz. So you have two categories left today, Lorraine. We have not so vital statistics or 20th century history.
Not so vital statistics.
Okay. Here's a pretty interesting one. How long is a horse's esophagus? Your choices are A, 4 to 5 feet, B, about 3 feet, or C, 24 to 36 inches.
I'm going to guess C.
24 to 36 inches?
Yes.
No. A horse's esophagus is 4 to 5 feet long.
Yeah, I thought it was longer than like 3 feet. So yeah, and it's
4 to 5 feet long. That's pretty long.
That is pretty long. I didn't know that. That's a long way from. It's hard to believe, isn't it? Are you sure you're right about that one, Jennifer?
Yeah, tough question.
Esophagus. Well, you know, their belly is further back. Like you don't. I would think the esophagus is as long as their neck, but really, their neck doesn't end.
That's
in
true.
Their belly.
That's true.
Like, well, you know.
Yeah.
It's just. Huh. Yep.
Well,
okay.
Sorry about that, Lorraine.
Oh.
Keep trying.
Oh, thank you.
All right.
Yeah, try again next week.
Okay, will do.
Thanks.
All right, that's it. That's all we have time for. We went a little over time because we did not have our guest at 9:30, but we need to take a break. The Wheel of Trivia is sponsored by EquityMFG.com with the Shake and Fork and the Flex and Fork. Just head on over to the website, and you'll see what Happy Barbie was talking about and why she owns so many of them. She, you know, I know several of our listeners actually now that own more than one. A lot of them buy 3-packs because they don't want to fight with their help over who gets the fork.
They don't want to fight with that help. Oh, my God. Did you really just say that?
I did, I think. All right. Here is our commercial. Our title sponsor for today's show is Back on Track Products.
Well, hi, Bo, and welcome back to Horses in the Morning.
Thank you.
Well, you know, Bo, I wanted to talk to you this week. You know, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about using the mesh sheet and how that really covered the back and, you know, a larger portion of the horse itself. And then last week, we covered the saddle pad to use when you're riding. I wanted to talk to you about the leg wraps today. When should you use the leg wraps? And you have a couple of different kinds.
Yes, all of our leg wraps work the same. It's best result is to use it overnight. If you don't have them indoors overnight, you can put them on a couple of hours a day and you will see some effect, but best result you will have for overnight.
So these are not wraps that you would put turn them out in? It's better
now. No, they're indoor wraps. Yeah.
Okay, so all of your wraps are these particular ones are indoor. And what benefits do we see to the legs?
You're going to see that the legs tighten up because of the increase of blood circulation, and the legs are going to tighten, cool, wind puffs disappear or get softer, especially horses will stock up at night, you can see a big difference with this kind of wraps on.
So it doesn't really matter what discipline we're doing. They're going to benefit almost anybody, whether English or Western or trail riders.
Oh, any horse will get helped by this. Because the horses stock up in the legs is because of poor blood circulation, and our leg wraps the increased blood circulation 50% in second of accounts.
Did you see them being used more front legs, back legs, or all four?
Most people use all four, but the horse usually stuck up in the hind before they stuck up in front.
Okay, so if you're going to get two, they could also rotate them if they had a pair, or are there separate sizes for front and back?
It's separate sizes, come 12, 14, and 16 inch. And some people want all the four leg wraps, and you know, they help the horses, of course, if you can wrap all four legs to stay sounder.
All right, cool. And you can find out more information on the Back on Track leg wraps. You can find that at backontrackproducts.com, along with all the other products. And we've talked about the mesh sheets and the saddle pads, and we're going to continue talking about other products as we go down the road here. Well, thank you again, Bo, for continuing to be a sponsor of Horses in the Morning. We appreciate you being on.
Yeah, thank you. Have a good day.
Well, thank you to Back on Track Products for the continued support of Horses in the Morning. They've been with us since pretty much the beginning. Well, Helena, it's that time of year when Forbes comes out with the lists of the most highest paid actors and comedians and things, and we talk about it every year here on the show. So I'm going to give you one of my crappy list to Wednesdays right now, and I'm going to see if you and Jennifer can guess. All right, let's start. We want to start with comedians or actors?
Comedian.
All right. Who do you guys think is the number one comedian as far as pay last year, in the last year?
Number one comedian.
Jay Leno.
Good guess. Not in the top 10.
Jimmy Kimmel?
Not in the top 10. I think you're going to be surprised with some of these.
Chris Rock.
You know,
a comedian?
Not in the top 10 either. I was really surprised about that too. All right, well, let's give you...
Are there any other comedians?
Yes, there are. let's give you some of these. Number 10, Ron White of, Ron.
Oh, funny.
Of the Blue Collar Group. He was, he just proved that you can drink scotch and smoke a cigar and make $10 million over the last year doing his comedy specials and stuff. Yeah, he made $10 million. The bulk of his earnings, an estimated $8 million, came from his 100-plus CDs and appearances, or actually his 100-plus appearances he's had over the past year. He does 100 gigs a year.
That's a lot of work.
Yep. He tours all the time.
Figure how many there's... Well, actually, that's something
that's
2 gigs a week.
Yeah, but it's on the road all the time.
That's not too bad. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That's not too bad. For what he
does. He'll tell you he does it to get away from his wife. So, that's what he says.
That's awful.
He's a comedian.
He is funny, though. He's coming to Newport. I'm going to go see him when he's in Newport.
Are you? Oh,
for
cool.
Sure.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be fun.
He's one of the few that makes me actually laugh out loud.
Couple of these are generation gap for me. I don't know who they are. Gabriel Iglesias, a really fat guy. He tours across the country, does stand-up comedy. He does a lot on Comedy Central. He makes a lot
he's
of his...
He's funny, too.
Yeah, he makes... I have seen him.
And he's pretty clean.
Yeah, he's not like, real bad like some of them. Yeah.
Yeah, he's not fresh.
So he made $11 million last year. Daniel Tosh, host of Comedy Central Tosh.0, actually. Which I've never watched, so I don't know much about him. He made $11 million last year.
I don't like him at all. I don't like him at all. I get it. Like, I get the really stupid, cutting kind of humor, but I don't like it.
See, Jamie likes him, which means I automatically don't. So I don't even have to watch him, and I know I don't, because we disagree on everything TV. George Lopez, still in the top 10 list, with $12 million last year. George wrote a couple books and still does a little bit of touring and has all of his old CDs and stuff out there. He just keeps making money, George. He just finds a way to make money. Number 7, it just goes to show you can be a redneck and make a lot of money. Larry the Cable Guy, still in the top 10 at $13 million last year. Did you know he started out as a radio guy?
No.
Yeah, he started out as a radio guy. His real name is Daniel Whitney. And that was his radio
name.
There's
hope, Glenn. There's hope.
Yeah, we could actually make money doing this someday. Yeah, of course, he does a couple different TV shows now, and he's doing all kinds of stuff. And, of course, they still make tons of money off the Blue Collar Comedy Tour, too. So
yeah, oh, sure. Yeah. He's got residuals coming in.
Kevin Hart, who is a BET guy, and he's on the reality show Real Husbands of Hollywood. It's kind of a spoof show about the real wives. So I don't know anything about him. I really haven't watched that much. He made $14 million. Louis C.K.,
That gives hope. That gives hope to Horse Husbands.
Yes.
Horse Husbands, whatever.
We could do our own show.
Maybe you can,
the Real Husbands
you need to call,
of the Barn.
You need to call BET and see if they'll do the... I mean, I don't know. If, or we could do Bravo or whatever, but...
Louis
C.K. can make a pitch for your show.
Louis C.K., $16 million last year. Then number four. Now, Jamie also hates anything to do with ventriloquists and dummies. But she's going to...
Me too. Creepy. Me too, Jamie. I hate them.
Well, you two are going to have to suck it because there's two of the top paid comedians out there are ventriloquists. Jeff Dunham, number four, dumped $20 million last year off of his tours and his DVD sales. We love Jeff Dunham. He's our favorite comedian ever. We've seen his show. We've gone to see him in concert. Love Jeff Dunham. He was number one on the list last year. Dropped to number four, by the way. Number three is Russell Peters. I don't know Russell Peters. He's apparently
the
most successful touring comedian out there now. He sells out concerts from Madison Square Garden to London. He broke an attendance record in London at the arena of 16,000 fans. What? $21 million last year.
Wow.
I don't know.
Wow.
Number two is a ventriloquist, Fader. Terry Fader, he's the guy that plays on Las Vegas at the Mirage Hotel. He's hugely, hugely popular. He signed a 5-year contract with the Mirage at $100 million. And last year he took in $24 million. He is the biggest show right now in Vegas, hands down. And I would love to see it. And then number one is you two are both going to fall over at $32 million last year. Guess who still reigns number one? Jerry Seinfeld.
Jerry Seinfeld?
I know. That's what I said. And the same reaction. Apparently, he still brings in huge crowds. He tours. He makes residuals off all of his old shows. And he just does very well. Seinfeld still leads the pack. Can you believe that?
Yeah, I do. I mean, come on, man. People quote Seinfeld. Oh,
that is true. He's probably one of the most quoted ever. So you're right.
Yeah, I mean, that show had a huge impact on American culture. So I can see that.
And just residuals.
Sure.
Is there a time of day when you search around the dial when Seinfeld isn't on one of those stations? It's on 24 hours a day.
Seinfeld.
Yeah,
I guess so.
Yeah, so, you know. It's not dated. I watch it now and I still laugh. You still get it because it's just about human nature stuff. So it works.
Yeah.
Well, we're not going to have time for the actors because we've just plain run out of time. But because somebody wanted something special today, so I did it for you today. It is July, and there's something that happens every July around the country is there's Christmas in July festivities. So I happen to know that one of Helena's favorite songs is Happy Ye Holidays from Templeton Thompson. So in honor of Christmas in July, here you go, Helena.
My favorite.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
I'm wishing you a very Merry Christmas. I'm hoping that you're warm and home and safe. Surrounded by your hood, singing peace on earth and happy new holidays.
Well, the snow was softly falling on the pasture, and there's a holly wreath hanging on the barn. Jingle bells are jingling, lights are all a twinkling, Christmas time is coming to the farm. Yeah, I'm wishing you a very merry Christmas, and hoping that you're warm and homesick, surrounded by your herd, singing peace on earth and happy ye holidays. Yeah. No dream too big for dreaming. Ain't nothing like the feeling when all the ones you love are gathering in. So I'm wishing you a very merry Christmas, hoping that you're warm and home and safe, surrounded by your herd, singing peace on earth and happy ye holidays.
Well, that was Templeton Thompson and Happy Ye Holidays. This is our little Christmas in July. Did you listen? Did you like it? Did that just for you? Helena? Are you there? We lost Helena. Oh. Well,
she left the building. Gone shopping.
She did. She went up to put her Christmas tree up. It's really not Christmas, Helena. You don't have to do that. Well, you're listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenn the Geek here, I think, with Helena B. From up there in Rhode Island. And Coach Jen is with us as well today. While we're waiting for Helena to come back, Jennifer, tell us what the prizes are for Really Bad Ads this week.
And Really Bad Ads prizes this week on today's Back on Tracks Products Wednesday edition. Ultra Shield Fly Protection Package coming up this Friday, one of the favorites. A variety of pesky biting insects you and your horse deal with all summer are endless. But fear not, four distinct fly control options from the Ultra Shield family allow you to choose the type of product to best suit your local weather conditions, your horse's lifestyle, and workload. Look for absorbing Ultra Shield fly protection products at your local tack and feed supplier, or you can visit them online at absorbing.com. Also up on this week's Friday Really Bad Ads, the Uncle Jimmy's gift pack. The famous Uncle Jimmy's hanging balls also are available in sugar-free, and you can get the regular, and you can also get Uncle Jimmy's squeezy buns and Uncle Jimmy's licky things. You never know what's going to be inside that box, all from UncleJimmy's.com. Finally, a six-pack of cupcakes in a jar from Eat Your Tart Out, one of our favorite foodie Facebook pages. Convenient portable cupcakes, perfect for packing into the cooler for show season. Winner of Really Bad Ads will get to choose their flavor, and if they have dietary restrictions, they can also accommodate. And you get six jars. Woohoo! You can find them at eatyourtartout.com.
All right. Very good. Well, thank you. And, you know, Kat from Eat Your Tart Out was the one that donated those. She wanted to give back to the listeners at the Horse Radio Network at Stable Scoop and also at the Horses in the Morning show, because, you know, a lot of you follow her, and she realizes that a lot of you are, you know, that follow her over at Eat Your Tart Out and visit her website at eatyourtartout.com are really fans of ours that have gone over there, and she just wanted to say thank you. And we talked about the six-pack of cupcakes on the Stable Scoop show a couple of weeks ago, so it was very nice of her to do that. She really doesn't sell anything over there. It's just she did it just for fun and to give back to our listeners, so that we really appreciate that. Get your ads in to Jennifer at HorseRadioNetwork.com. Are you back, Helena?
I'm back. Can you hear me?
Yes, good, good.
Okay.
All right, welcome back. Hey, one little bit of the news story here before we get to thehorse.com to talk about minis. Now that I almost have a mini, I mean, My Little Pony's practically mini. You and I did a show on Stable Scoop years and years and years ago. This was before Horse in the Morning even started, on cloning. And
yeah,
it was a very fascinating show. We had the scientists on that actually did the cloning, and we had some other people on talking about the associations and whether they would accept it and whether the breed registries would accept it and things like that. And one of them that said they weren't going to accept it was the American Quarter Horse Association, the AQHA. Well, as of this week, two people, a rancher by the name of Jason Abraham and a veterinarian by the name of Greg Velikasan, sued the AQHA in an attempt to overturn the prohibition on cloned horses from the registry. Their argument is that the registry is being, what do they say exactly here? They both own a number of clones, obviously, and they claim that the registry rule violates federal antitrust laws that prohibit an entity from monopolizing commerce without a legitimate reason. So they're saying that the AQHA didn't have a legitimate reason, so that's the reason that this has to be overthrown, because basically they have the monopoly on registering your quarter horse. You can't do it with anybody else. It's an interesting argument. It's a different way to take this argument in court. They're going to federal court with this. I'm kind of surprised, since we did that show, that this hasn't been challenged up to this point, aren't you?
I'm surprised. No, because I don't know. I don't know if I'm surprised or not. I'm disappointed that it's been challenged. I am, because you know how I feel about cloning. I just don't think it's right.
Yeah. And we kind of disagreed a little bit on that. It was an interesting conversation that we had about it.
We did disagree on it, but it's purely a commercial enterprise. I mean, this is about animal husbandry. It's about breeding, which I get, but cloning is, to me, it's just like cheating, and they're
and a little scary. A little scary.
American Quarter Horse Council. Oh, okay. Yeah, but I mean, the Horse Council, part of their charge is to, I guess, preserve the quality of the breed. And yeah. It's not that cloning...
Well, I was just
going to
say, because the argument of the cloners would be that they're bringing better quality back to the breed because they're cloning the best of the best. So that's their argument.
The best of the best. Yeah, but all that does is it homogenizes the breed. And therefore you take away, there's really something to be said for mixing up the gene pool, genetic diversity. That's the whole point.
Well,
I don't know.
It would be interesting to be in Texas right now, because this actually got a jury trial. Opening statements were set for Tuesday, and it's U.S. District Judge, and the jury trial is expected to last 2 weeks. That's one jury trial I think I'd be interested in being on.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, it would be fun to hear the arguments and to sit in on that when it's something you're actually interested in, you know? So,
yeah, I know. Yeah, instead of murders and, yeah. And robbers.
Exactly. Well, that's coming up. We'll see what happens with that. Who knows? You know, who knows what will happen? But they said that, you know, this trial really will set the precedent, and all the breed associations are now looking at this, and they're all realizing that whatever the verdict is that comes down, you know, however this verdict comes down, is the precedent that's going to be set, and they're going to have to conform to it. So everybody's interested in what happens with this jury trial in Texas. And it's going to be hard to find some Texans that don't have horses and have a stake in this game, isn't it? Half of them are going to have quarter horses. So
it takes horsemanship and animal husbandry. It takes it out of the equation, and it replaces it with money. If you have the money to clone your horses, then you can stay in business. Never mind if you know what you're doing.
Well, that's the first thing
never mind if you take the time to care for your animals and breed them properly. And, you know, never mind all that. Just get a couple of bucks, cool on your horse, and you're good to go, and you win.
Well, that's the thing that struck me with this one is the they both own several clones, and you and I both know that it runs about $100,000. So there's no doubt they can afford to do the lawsuit too. You know, anybody that can afford to clone several horses can afford to do the lawsuit and make waves with it. Well, let's do this now.
Yep, it's time for the weekly health report from Horse.com. Fantastic information and their attempt to ruin Glenn's lunch every week.
Yes, it is that time again. This is our segment, the weekly horse health report from thehorse.com. This week we have with us Erica Larson. She is the news editor of thehorse.com, and we're going to talk about miniature horses today. Welcome, Erica.
Hello, how are you doing?
We're great. How are you today? Are you staying cool or is it hot where you are?
It's pretty toasty outside, but I'm staying cool in the office.
These are the days where it's nice that you have an office job.
It is.
What do we have on tap for today? We have Dr. Jones with us again, don't we?
I believe so. Dr. Jones will be with us, and we will be talking about caring for miniature horses and miniature horse health problems.
Dr. Jones, are you there?
Keeping them out of trouble in the green bin?
It can.
not that I'm stereotyping or anything.
No, it's pretty accurate, I think.
Dr. Jones,
well,
are you
Dr.
with us?
Dr. Jones here. Yes, I'm on, okay. And good morning to everybody. And I just got a quick question. Erica, is it you that has purchased and own a miniature, or is it Stephanie?
Yes. Well, Stephanie's family has some minis as well, but I do have a miniature horse.
Oh.
I actually used to live next to a miniature horse breeding farm, so I'm well-versed in these little critters.
Good. Well, maybe you could do the program, and I can go back to work, huh?
Yeah. You're the expert, I think, though.
Well, I'm just a little concerned about some of the conversation we're going to have today, that you might go screaming for the hills and wonder why you purchased that little mini. So,
well, they're very cute, you know.
Yeah, they're adorable, yes.
Now, Dr.
Well,
Jones, let me ask you a question before you get started. Have you ever owned a mini?
Yes, I have, but it was a miniature donkey. But
oh,
yes,
cool.
I have had a mini.
Cool.
Yes, I'm very much in love with miniature donkeys. They're one of my favorite little tykes to have because they're just so easy to keep and have, I hate to say it, fewer problems than a miniature horse because of they've been less bred and popular. And so sometimes that keeps some of the influence from us humans at bay because we tend to overbreed certain aspects. So.
No. It's interesting, though, that you say that that it's possible to overbreed bad traits, both physical and behavioral, into horses. You know, I always hear about dog breeds who are overbred, and then you tend to get problems with that. I never actually thought about breeding or reproducing problems within a breed of equine. So this is kind of interesting. I guess minis got popular because they're easy to keep, or people think they're easy to keep.
I would have to say they are probably easy to keep, and Erica could give us firsthand experience about her feelings on that, if she thinks they are or not.
I think they can be very easy to keep, but like you said, they've got some health problems from time to time that can make it challenging. But overall, yes, they are a ton of fun to keep. I really enjoy my mini.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter because the vet calls are half the price.
Right.
Well, I have to say the vaccines are still the same amount. We still give them the same 1 cc dose as you do with the horses. You don't cut back on that because you're prompting the immune response, not the size of the animal. So even on the draft horse shires, Clydesdales, they still get 1 cc just like the minis do. And there's a few other things that are similar in dosing. But there is still a lot that you can save on other medications, yes.
Okay. I was kidding. I was just kidding.
I know. But I did want to point out, just in case anybody was doing it at home, that you wouldn't have your vaccine, please don't do that. Make sure you give them the full dose to make sure you get proper immune response for protection.
All right, Erica, we didn't mean to hijack your segment. Go ahead.
No worries. Well, talking about saving some money, saving some space, minis typically require less space to live than a full-size horse.
So how much room in a barn and in a pasture can a mini live on comfortably?
Well, there's no exact that's stated out there. You know, the horse has some suggestions, which is great, but I have had them in stalls that are 10 by 10 because people usually utilize an old horse stall. They don't make the stalls for minis. And I did have a miniature farm that was breeding, and they had them in basically a 6 by 6, and it worked out in an 8 by 8. It worked out beautifully for them. And but most of the time, they don't have them up in the stalls except for when they're foaling them out. And the other times they're usually out in the pasture, and your horse per pasture depends on where in the country you live. Here in Florida, they recommend 2 to 3 acres because the sand doesn't hold the grass very well. And it's not the fact that horses are eating the grass. The fact they're walking on the grass, they tear the grass up as they walk. So 2 to 3 acres per horse is recommended, but doesn't necessarily mean you're going to save your grass. And so you can go with a lot less than that with a mini and go to maybe a maximum of 0.5 to 1 acre for a mini and still get by with saving some of your grass.
Sure. And can minis go out with full-size horses?
A lot of them do. I think they're great buddies for the full-size horses. So if you have that client or you yourself own that horse that you barely have enough time to ride yourself, you're either showing, you're trail riding on the weekends, you're weekend warrior eventing or weekend warrior doing rodeo events, but you feel that that horse needs a little company, a miniature is a really nice plus because you're going to cut back on feed, you know, your space again like we talked about, but still treat them the same way as your horse, as in vaccine protocols will be the same, deworming will be the same, or fecal checks will be the same, cleaning up after will be the same, but they're a little less management husbandry than another full-size horse, and then you don't feel obligated that you have to ride them because you can't.
Sure. And you mentioned the feeding. How much does a mini eat on a daily basis?
Now, that's a tricky question. Okay, because as any answer for nutrition-based for horse, mini, donkey, whatever mule it is, first it relies on what roughage do you have, because the horse's digestive or the equine's digestive tract is made up to take care of roughage better than it is grain. So you need to check out what your pasture is available, what pasture you have available for your mini, and then if you don't have much for pasture or if it's wintertime and it's frost on the ground or snow on the ground, you have to supply the hay for them. From there, you add your grain in. And here's where we kind of go down that slippery slope of problems with minis. So we're going to roll right into it, Erica, and talk about our Cushing's, talk about our insulin resistance, talk about our hyperlipidemia and obesity problems in these little guys. And those tend to be a little bit overloved and overfed.
Sure.
They also will have problems with lactation if you have a breeding program or you just have a cute little mare and you really want to breed her and get another little cute baby out of it. You can have problems with birthing and with lactation, and that would all come from obesity or the grain you're feeding. There is mini grains that are made by these large companies, and it's grains made for minis. There's supposed to be less fat in them because the fat seems to be what's driving the hyperlipidemia and the obesity problems that you see in ponies as well. And this grain's formulated for them, or you can go with the adults' horses or the big horse grains that are just supplements to a good pasture, such as, you know, like a balancer of electrolytes and vitamins. And that way you feel like you're still giving your animal feed, especially when you're feeding your adult or your large horse, because you're utilizing that horse a lot and it needs to have the grain for energy for showing or rodeo or trail riding, and you don't want to leave the mini out. You can give them just something that balances their minerals and vitamins and electrolytes at night and in the morning and not have to add all that extra energy, carbohydrates, and fats that can cause all these other problems, these internal medicine headaches that these minis tend to have.
Okay, and speaking of eating, do minis need the same kind of dental care as full-size horses?
If not more, yes. The problem with minis, and I have to differentiate here, more so miniature horses than miniature donkeys, is that they have many teeth problems, dental problems. They've been bred for show, because people do show these minis in cart or in hand, and they have been bred to have that really tiny body style and really tiny head. Now, granted, they still want to get the maximum amount of teeth in the head that they're supposed to have,
and they tend to get a little crowded in the mouth, is my best way of putting it. So some of the teeth come in sideways. Some of them don't erupt well because the baby caps don't come off very easily. You're getting tooth root abscesses, and so you'll get sinus problems, things like that. So they would probably need a little bit more due diligence on dental checks. They also are more prone to have what we call sow mouth or monkey mouth, which is an underbite, than horses do. More horses will have a parrot mouth or an overbite. These minis will tend to have a sow mouth or an underbite. If you have any of these problems that I just described, you're going to want to have your veterinarian out doing the teeth a bit more often just to keep them in line as best as you can. And if you don't, count yourself as one of the lucky few, and you can just maintain them the same rotation as you do your larger horse.
Well, that's great to know. So moving from the mouth to conformation, are minis prone to developing any conformational deficits that we should be concerned about?
Yes, because humans are involved. Again, we've tried to create that mini, that lovely, tiny, beautiful mini for the show ring that they absolutely love. And it's always about, you know, what we're trying to win money on or show. And same with any other breeds that we've kind of, I hate to say, ruined a little bit because we've overbred them to get certain aspects. Again, the head is the primary thing. They've just got the most beautiful, typey, small mini heads. So you get these dental problems, but you can also get some sort of malformation of the front limbs because of the shortness of the bone growth. You can get the dwarfism, which is your extreme of your conformational defect. And I have had some dwarfs actually live for quite some time, but not without a lot of veterinary care and due diligence by their farrier to try to keep them up on their hooves rather than knuckling over onto their fetlocks and bowing out their legs and keeping their hoofs worn appropriately and things like that. So the conformational defects could be as just minimal as a sow mouth in the mouth or crooked teeth, and could be as drastic as a horse walking on its two front fetlocks and the front part of the fetlocks with sow mouth and missing teeth, or teeth that have been unerupted because they've been capped in by the baby teeth, and that, you know, then you go into abscess problems.
Poor little kids. Now, something that my mini is extremely hairy, and I've noticed a trend. Most minis are extremely hairy. Are there any health issues or concerns that you might have about these very hairy little creatures?
Well, a lot of them are bred. I mean, they're bred to have the long hair. So it's certain breeds are going to be longer haired than others.
Sure.
Minis. But you do have your heat problems because they're having that horrible heat wave up in the northwest right now, or northeast right now, and probably you included in Kentucky, mm-hmm. where these cooler climates, even in the summertime, can't handle it. So those will need to be clipped and almost treated like an anhydrotic horse that we see here in Florida, where they may not sweat enough to cool themselves off because they're not able to wick away the sweat, and capillaries can't get cool. The other thing, too, is as they age, one of our signs for Cushing's, and you'll see Cushing's a lot in miniatures, one of the signs we see for Cushing's is long hair. So these miniatures that already have long hair growth are going to hide one of our first clinical signs we see for that. So, you know, it probably would be nice just to start testing your ACTH levels on these minis at, you know, maybe 15 years of age or older, 18 years of age or older. They always say an old horse is considered 20 and over, but these minis tend to get them a little bit earlier, and you might want to start a little earlier in testing them for the Cushing's problem. And it can be hidden again because they already have the long hair. So those are two right off the bat problems that you will hide, per se, without even knowing it.
Well, that's some great insight. Now, my mini is very spunky, and she likes to boss our big horses around.
Yeah, they do.
Can.
Great, yeah.
Well, can a badly behaved mini cause problems, and, you know, how important are good manners? Even though they're very cute, you know, should they be well behaved?
Absolutely. I mean, for the farrier, for one, because you got to think about it, there is no miniature farriers out there, or as we call them, what, vertically challenged is the proper word anymore.
Yes.
So if you've got a, right off the bat, I'm just thinking about the farriers, because they're going to see the minis more than than us veterinarians do. You got a bad behaved one, they can't sit still long enough for them to get the feet trimming done appropriately on them. And the other thing is just having people over are going to think naturally that these are oversized dogs, and they're going to gravitate to them. So if you have some bad behaved ones, they can hurt you just as bad as a full-sized horse can get hurt. The other thing goes back to one of your very first questions, which is a reason why a lot of people get the minis who have large horses, is that they can go out and try to boss around the other horses. And when they try to boss around these other horses, can get hurt very seriously when a horse has finally had enough of it. And they turn around and they pop them with a nice kick, and you've got a fracture.
Yes. All right. And what, if you had to pick one tip or recommendation for caring for a mini horse or mini horse health, what would your tip be?
Sounds like it's going to be don't get one.
Sounds like. I would not say I'm anti-mini. And again, I had a miniature donkey, so my love is with the miniature donkeys. I am just a huge fan of them. They provide so much entertainment, as well as they try to boss the horses, but they don't seem to get right up in their face like some of the miniatures do, miniature horses do. But the dental seems to be the one thing I run into the most. Is my number one thing you want to stay on top of is make sure their teeth are appropriately taken care of. And that starts at a young age because, again, like I said, sometimes they don't drop their caps, their baby teeth, like big horses do. And this cap can stay on the adult tooth and put pressure on it to cause a basically tooth root abscess early in life. And that becomes an absolute nightmare with these poor miniatures. And so I would say staying on top of your dental care is number one priority. And then after that would be your nutrition. So talk to your veterinarian about how your grass looks, your extension agent. You can get them tested, get your soil tested, make sure you got everything you need for that grass, and make sure your carbohydrate load is not too high, and then decide if you really need to add the grain or not.
Excellent.
Now, so follow-up question, the mini donkeys, just out of curiosity, are they as protective of the field and the other horses as regular donkeys, which a lot of people use, you know, donkeys as protection animals to keep the coyotes away and stuff?
Yes, they are, and I had the unfortunate news of losing mine, who was out through the night trying to protect the pasture for the thoroughbred mare, and was attacked by a pack of dogs, is what we're assuming, or coyotes.
Wow. I'm sorry to hear that. I didn't know that, or I wouldn't ask the question.
No, that's all right. So even the minis will do it, but of course they're not going to be as good by themselves, a good fit to protect as the standard size or the one between standard and mini to protect.
Yeah, so, because the mini donkeys are just so tiny. I mean, they're just little tiny. Yeah.
Yes, they are. But they have the same attitude as the larger size ones, so they will try to take that on, and there is a chance that you can, you know, lose them.
Huh. Wow.
What if miniature horses weren't so interfered with by human breeding? I don't even know if we've bred them so much that we don't know the answer to this. If they were sort of left to their own devices, what would you say are really the greatest benefits of the miniature horse? Like, for example, ponies are hardy, you know, so they're great. They can just keep going and going, and they can live in a variety of environments. What would you say would be the benefit of miniature horses?
I would say the husbandry, the thing we talked about at the beginning. They're so much easier to care for in that respect. And just like you said, the ponies are hardy, so are the minis. If you had everything going the right way and they weren't genetically predisposed to insulin resistance and they had a good set of teeth, Their foot hoof care is better, you know, easier to do. They're not required as often as a full-size horse. They are a lot hardier. They breathe air to basically stay fat. they don't need a whole lot of fat supplementation to them. So there is a couple wild pony and wild miniature breeds that people, not wild as in they're out in the West, but that they allow them to reproduce on their own and they watch their progress. So, yes, it is possible to have really good minis that have less interference with our genetic variations, and they live very hardy, long lives.
So there is some natural variation within the breed.
Yes, yes. yes, there is. Okay. It's just that you never know when the genetic dwarfism is going to show up, and you never know when you're going to have some sort of sow mouth or some problem with the face show up. You could go to somebody who's not a full-time breeder. They've just got a few pets, and it might show up with one of their offspring just as much as it would a person. So there's nothing against those that show saying that they're all the cause of it. It's not that. It's just somewhere along the line we have messed with the breed a little too much, and they have come up with a lot of problems or issues. And I'm not saying that they're the only breed. We've done this with a lot of other breeds, you know, all the way up to thoroughbreds. And, you know, everybody knows thoroughbreds, they say, always have the worst set of feet or the worst set of teeth or whatever. And it's just us involving our expertise in thinking that this is the best thing in that animal because that's what we're showing for, that's what we're racing for, that's what we want.
Well, Erica, thank you very much for bringing this to the table today, and thank you again, Dr. Jones. Dr. Jones, where can people find you?
We're at floridaequine.com or on our Facebook, which is Florida Equine Veterinary Service. And again, I'm going to talk about the UP Channel's reality show premiering tonight at 10 o'clock Eastern.
Yeah, we're hoping to get them on. We're hoping to get them on. When does it start again?
Tonight, they were on Fox and Friends this morning doing a live interview, and they were on the Today Show yesterday doing a live interview. So they're up in New York right now.
Big time.
Yeah, and then there's an encore of their premiere is on Friday this week, and there's a big premiere party in Lakeland that I'll be going to with them, and a bunch of other public people will probably go because it's a very open public venue. And so you'll still probably get a chance to talk to them about their experience with everything.
And what's the name of the show again? Give it another plug.
The Bullock Family Ranch, and it's B-U-L-L-O-C-H, not C-K like Sandra Bullock. It's B-U-L-L-O-C-H, and it's just basically about having a ranch that they've taken kids from the city in to get them to turn their life around a bit.
Great. Well, I'll have to DVR it. Going to have to DVR it if we can, because I can't find that channel. So we're just going to have to DVR it.
Well, it'll be on after the program called Heartland, which is a ranching series.
Okay.
So it pretty much fits well with that. If you can find Heartland on your programming, you'll find the Bullock Family Ranch right after them.
Very good. And Erica, I'm sure that you guys have stuff on minis over at thehorse.com.
We absolutely do. We actually have a great feature on maximizing your mini's health in the July issue of our magazine. And we also have a miniature horse health special report online, which you can find by going to thehorse.com/mini-health.
Very good. Thank you, Erica, for filling in again this week. And Dr. Jones, I sent you a private message on Facebook. Take a look at that when you get a chance. We'll see you, we'll see you both next week.
All right.
Take care.
Have a good
Thank
one.
You.
Mini donkeys are so cute. They really, really
They're
are.
They're awesome.
Cute. I know.
We used
so
to have
cute.
Neighbors that had a pair of them, and they were called You and Me. Isn't that cute, You and Me?
That's funny. I like that. Well, thank you, everybody, for joining us again today. We've plain run out of time. Jennifer just wrote here, the beaker is scared of the ones down the road. We have a couple of donkeys down the road that bray about twice a day. And he's terrified of
them. No, he's not afraid of those.
Oh.
He's afraid of the mini ones.
Oh, the mini ones.
The normal size ones he's okay with, but there's a pair of mini. They're like 30 inches tall. And everywhere they go as a unit.
The two of them?
You know, they're like 3 feet apart at all times. And they come trotting up to the fence every time we ride by the house and scares him every time. I think it's a full-size donkey with two heads is what it is.
I told you they're possessed. I think they're possessed. They're zombies. They're little mini zombie donkeys.
No. Oh. Get a bad rap.
Yeah. Well, that's it, everybody. Thank you so much for Alina filling in this week. Jamie will be back on Friday this week to do really bad ads with us. So get your entries in to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. And Alina, you're off next week. So you enjoy your time off. And we'll see you back here in a couple of weeks.
You will indeed. Thanks, everybody.
And don't forget, you can find Alina over at stablescoop.com every single week. So if you want more of her, that's where to find her. Be safe, everybody. Wear your helmets. Mini donkey zombies. Zombie donkeys.
Mini donkey zombies. I feel a new show coming.
Yeah, the movie.